It's the WNKY South Central Kentucky Weather Weekly with WNKY TV meteorologists Cody Bailey and Christy Stewart.
Thank you, Kirk, and welcome into episode number 55 of WNKY Weather Weekly. We are recording this week's podcast on Wednesday, November 6th, and it is valid from November 7th through the 14th of 2019. I'm meteorologist Cody Bailey.
And I'm meteorologist Christy Stewart.
And I'm Scott Burchett.
Yes. So, promised he'd say hi real quick.
Hi.
Yes. He actually does have some things to do today, but we made him at least say hello to you guys.
I had to stop in, though, and see everybody.
Yes. And it's nice. You had last week just me, and now you get three voices, so it's even better.
We kind of
makes up. Yeah. Somewhat, anyway.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've had a, what you would call a normal podcast, I guess.
Yeah, Scott's about five episodes late from what we wanted him to be on, but that's okay.
And the sad part is I'm just across the building when we're doing this.
Yeah. I know.
It's always a busy afternoon. And
it is.
I guess a simpler task could be that we could just switch around the day.
I don't know.
Then miss everything.
I know.
Yeah.
It's all right. We'll see you when we see it. No.
But, episode 55. We've got some fun topics today, I think. A couple questions that are, I guess for me at least, indirect questions that we'll use for the show. Obviously, it's getting colder. People want to know about the S word, what we like to say.
Yeah.
When do we typically see that first snow? And will we see any in our near future? That's the question. Maybe not precipitation, but we do have some big time cold weather coming our way.
Audio, Scott.
Yes.
Sorry, I had to cut you off. But
Scott has left Scott's the room.
Yeah.
He is still in the building, though.
Yeah.
He's got some work to do. But yes, we do have a lot of the current forecast to talk about, too, with some winter-like feel in terms of the temperatures. But that remains to be seen. But we'll answer those questions and some other ones, too, that are kind of interesting. But we had a lot of deep meteorology questions from our own Tej Joshi that we'll have to figure out which one to answer. He gave us enough for like a whole semester to teach a class.
He really did. It started off, I asked him, I was like, hey, do you have a question? And he's like, well, what are you talking about today? And we talked about how we were going to mention the first snow type things like that, you know, cold weather type topic for today. And then he spit out a question that's related to cold weather, and then it brought up all these other things, and I was like, man, I feel like we're answering all these basic meteorology questions, like back to Meteo 201 is what it was for me.
Like taking an exam again or something.
Yeah. So we'll probably hold some of those for the bank anyways for another day, but we'll answer at least maybe one or two of them for today, so
yeah,
that was good. He's always curious. So
I feel like the only thing he was missing was a Scantron that we needed to fill out.
Yeah.
That was it. But he's, I get that from him, and also, you know, him and Max are both from Florida, and they're very, for media journalists only, very savvy with weather, I'd say. You know, Max is always asking me these questions and knows quite a bit about, like, hurricanes and stuff, obviously dealing with a lot of that in Florida, and then Tej, you know. There's some that he's asking us what different terms were that he didn't know, but from a basic standpoint, it's got a pretty good general idea of what goes on down there.
So I guess there's something in the water.
Proud
Floridians. In Florida.
Yeah. So we'll get to those later as well. I guess we can start with what's coming up here shortly, which I guess not really it is a major holiday for, you know, the United States, I guess you could say. Veterans Day coming up next week. But we always like to take a look at what the National Weather Service provides in terms of historical views of different holidays and look at what the weather was. They also won't talk about it today, but they did an interesting one a couple weeks ago. They had an article about the biggest weather impacts in football games since it's kind of the middle of football season. So that's kind of interesting to look at, too, and see how weather plays a role in the sports world, too. But of course, Veterans Day next Monday. That will be in the kind of the middle of this week's episode duration, at least next Monday before next week's show of Thursday. So Veterans Day on Monday. I guess an early Happy Veterans Day to any veterans listening, even active duty. Thanks for your service as well. I've been saying it's depending on the highs. I know there's a little bit of a discrepancy, kind of big temperature difference, not anything vast, but by a few degrees, but looking back in the history, Could be one of the coolest, chilliest Veterans Days in quite some time from Bowling Green. But I know you've got the stats of the records for Bowling Green, and just at first glance, it looks like, once again, kind of like the last two holidays. I think Halloween and, I guess, Labor Day. It's been a while since we've set any records for these last couple holidays.
Yeah, and I don't think that we're going to be setting another record for this one either. We will start off with the rain, if I can get my W's out. The wettest Veterans Day in history was back in 2004 with 1.5 inches of rain. So, not too bad. Quite a bit of rain for that day anyways, but I know that we've seen records that are higher than that in terms of precipitation. The warmest Veterans Day, which I think I would have been a fan of, 80 degrees in 1927.
Back, way back.
Yeah, that was a long time ago, but 80, not too bad. I mean, very warm for November, but I would take some 80 degree days compared to this cold that we are about to get anyways as we get into next week.
Yeah. Not a fan.
No, I am not either. We'll get into that, of course, later on in the show. The coldest temperature, 19 degrees.
Woo.
And that's not even like a wind chill or anything. That's just straight up temperature, 19 degrees. That actually happened twice in 1926 and then again in 1960.
What about that year difference? 19 in 1926 and 80 the next year in 1927. Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't even think about that. two extremes there.
Like, oh, you remember last year? That was all.
Yeah, you had winter one year and then summer the other year, which is pretty crazy. It is interesting to always look back at these historical weathers. Now, we are going to be having a very cold, below average temperature for Veterans Day. Not 19 degrees cold, though.
No, thanks.
So that's good. Unless we really are terrible at forecasting and doing our jobs.
Something just crazy happens.
Yeah. It doesn't look like we'll be hitting 19 degrees again. And I do think also it's a little bit interesting. Normally, I don't cover this, but it is listed on here anyways, and it's kind of interesting to sometimes go over them. But the warmest daily average temperature was 70 degrees in 1927, and that's where they take that day's high and low and average that, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That's very warm, so I would suspect that the high or the low...
High was 80, so...
So yeah, the 1927, the low was 60 degrees, so man...
Hey, that was easy math for us.
That is, 80 to 60, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, but that was a warm day overall. Normally our highs are like 60 degrees, so to have an overnight low of 60 degrees is very warm, very abnormally warm. And then that coldest daily average temperature was 31.5 degrees, which was seen in 1926 and 1950. So kind of interesting that it wasn't on 1960 that they had that coldest daily average.
Yeah. And this kind of goes to show, I had a little conversation with DJ Brady at Woohoo on our daily calls about, you know, not the sense of, oh, you never know what you're going to get in November, but really to that point, November is just one of those months that just kind of can be all over the place, especially earlier in the month, where, you know, again, I know a couple weeks ago we talked about our fall severe weather season. November is one of those months that we always have to watch out. It kind of has a little bit of everything. Obviously, you know, for the next week, we're talking about well below normal temperatures, just like that record high of Veterans Day of 80 degrees, and then we've had Veterans Days in the 20s and teens. So November can just be one of those really all over the place tricky months with big swings in temperature. It seems like at least once every year we get that big warm-up followed by that powerful cold front that really knocks us down to get chilly temperatures. So November, kind of a, I wouldn't say a tricky month to forecast, but just a really wide varying in terms of temperatures. So
you know what I find interesting looking at this Veterans Day weather history is that they don't have snow listed.
Yeah, so I guess we've never had snow on Veterans Day, maybe?
I guess not. And it's kind of interesting to me too, a little teaser into the forecast, but mm-hmm. it's very low chance right now because yeah. precipitation's pretty uncertain at this point as we're recording the forecast, but it looks like we might be having a little bit of mixed precipitation on Veterans Day.
Yeah, one of those rain maybe mixing depending on the temperatures and of course the time. That time of year, that yeah. is the tricky when we get back to winter forecasting because
and that
there's
mixed events.
So yeah. many variables that go into obviously the timing, if you're going to get the temperatures cool enough, mm-hmm. where those temperatures are going to be. Of course, with winter precipitation, you have to look at temperatures above the ground too. So that's just, that's the season that is more stressful, I think, for forecasters.
I think so too. But I do think that it would be really kind of cool if we had some snow verifying,
so
like a trace.
Maybe that could be a record after
we had
all.
A trace. Maybe, because we don't have it listed.
I think it's the only thing that we could do.
I think so, too.
We're not going to be that cold. We're definitely not going to be that hot. So
yeah, so maybe just if we get a trace.
That would be enough.
That would be kind of cool. So, I mean, I was always... Okay, growing up, I used to say, if it's going to be really cold outside, it might as well snow.
Yeah.
But now as an adult, when you have to drive in it, I don't say that anymore because I hate driving in it. But now the weather nerd in me is like, hey, that would be really cool if we did that. So anyways, I guess since we already talked about snow, we could talk about the typical first snows that we see around Bowling Green and surrounding South Central Kentucky.
I had, I think I actually might have used it as a question a couple weeks ago. I don't think we went over these dates, but I had somebody asking if I thought that we would get our first snow before Thanksgiving, which I guess if we get a trace on Veterans Day, that would be right. But I've had kind of vague general questions, not like directly for the podcast and not directly when is our first snow going to be, but just some, I had somebody kind of lightheartedly asking, you know, can you make it snow? They like winter precipitation, so they're like, can you make it snow? And then... obviously, with the cool and next week cold temperatures, that kind of begs the question of, well, if it's that cold, like, kind of like what you said, if it's going to be this cold, might as well snow. I think people have that in their mind, like, well, if it's this cold, is it going to snow? So
that makes sense, yeah.
Kind of, you know, begs the question a little bit. And again, I've had people kind of roundabout ways asking about that snow. So which kind of go over the snow depths.
I guess we'll go over a roundabout way of
forecast. Kind of so we are... I guess if that would verify, we would be well ahead of schedule on the averages, which looking at the averages from the National Weather Service, they're going back to 1932 up to now as their average date. So the average first trace of snow, so it would basically be snowflakes falling, but really no accumulation, December 3rd, so the first few days of December is usually when we get that first trace of snow, first measurable amounts of snow. On average, coming around Christmas Eve, which is kind of ironic. So, I know that's also another question that we'll get as we go into December, chances of a white Christmas.
Well, you
50-50.
Know, yeah. I guess so. That's our average first measurable. So
yeah, it's kind of interesting. That's the first. The normal first date of our first inch snow event, New Year's Day. So another Hallmark holiday.
We like our holidays, apparently.
And then it just kind of gets scrambled from there. First average 4-inch plus snowfall would be towards the end of January. January 23rd is what this says. And then you go to the last rounds, which can also vary depending on the season that you've had. I know, I believe it was April 2018. April 2018. Our last measurable snowfall was in, I think it was about April 8th to April 10th. And the average last measurable is February 24th, so towards the end of February. So that was really late in the season. Usually the last trace on average mid-March. And even that sometimes here is hard to come by. So,
Which I think is, because the weather here is pretty similar to what I would experience growing up in North Carolina. And we would always have like our big snowstorm, which is like, you know, 2 to 3 inches.
yeah.
That would always happen in like January, February, and then kind of after that, it would kind of calm down. So it kind of lines up with that.
So I know everyone always asks about that, like I said, that white Christmas. Even December, at least in recent years, we've had some big temperature swings in December of, I think it was just a couple years ago, there were temperatures on Christmas Day in the 60s and 70s across the region. So we get still even in December, not quite as often as November, but December is still kind of that, of course it is a transition month because December has the first day of winter. But really you start to get the deep cold, and on average the coldest temperatures between January and February. So that like you said, that makes sense, at least for this part of the country too, that would be the biggest chance for the most snow that we see. But again, those are averages,
yes,
depending on the season. It could be, you know, one way or the other. Someone did ask me the other day what I thought about, which I would love to do, asking about the winter season. I know there are some people who specifically forecast, like, long range.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to do that, but with doing
regular
forecasting every day, the 7-day forecast every day, you don't really find a lot of time to look at data.
and do long range.
I have a friend who usually has a pretty accurate long-range forecast. He lives in my home area, and he just released his a couple weeks ago. So, but he goes, I mean, all out with the research and looking at analog data, which would be, you know, conditions now, what were similar conditions in years past, and he'll look at those years.
He's like a human,
see what the winter,
a human model.
Yeah. Oh man, he's crazy. But like I said, it's, you know, last year I think it was pretty close to that area of what he said versus what happened. And of course, he releases it before Thanksgiving every year. So it's, you know, he has that out there for everyone to see before the first flakes ever fly. And so props to him for being that open.
Yeah.
And, you know, here it is. And I had a kind of a laid back professor at Ball State who was joking about, you know, he said, you know, people just want that winter forecast. So he's like, you know, really, you could just say whatever you want, and you know, 3 months later when it's snowing, people aren't really going to remember what you said in the first place. And he's like, if you want to, just go ahead and have something, just ballpark it, and just
guess
to satisfy the masses. And then
I would just probably
my luck is someone will screenshot it and save it and then come back to me in February with
I would probably just stick to like seasonal averages and just kind of go with that if I had to create one.
I've seen some that are, you know, that vagueness a chance a little bit above normal precipitation, probably below normal temperatures.
Right.
Then you just gotta look at the average temperatures and it's gonna be colder.
Normally, you'd probably be pretty good in the ballpark if you did a range like that.
Yeah.
Now, your friend, do they release it for the whole U.S. or is it just like a local type?
So he does. He's not a broadcaster.
Okay.
He did go for meteorology, but he runs a very successful website, kind of blog, and also a Facebook page too. So he's kind of a hybrid in the middle. He doesn't hype stuff up, you know, like a lot of pages do, just for the likes and the shares. He's really almost a business, kind of similar to our friends, kind of our colleagues, if you know Weather or Not Bowling Green here in Bowling Green. Very similar to that, where he services the local area, but he built it on his own too. So, you know, he's at the point now where he started as just a blog and a website, to now he's kind of a similar situation where those local, it's for kind of the southern part of Indiana.
Okay.
So he sells ad space on like local radio stations, and for a while the newspaper had his forecast in instead of just the general AccuWeather forecast.
Oh, that's nice.
That actually used his. So he hasn't made it a career, but he's definitely made it a, you know, he's making money off of it. So
hey, that's good.
Very successful, and I think it's because, like I said, he's usually very close and very accurate to those extended forecasts. So even just a simple blog and website, he's built trust in the local community. Of course, his big thing too is he likes being able to post videos of 12-15 minutes of explanation and not have to be confined to 3 minutes on
that makes
TV
sense.
So I was like, yeah, that part is nice when you get the chance to record
if there's a lot going on.
If
it's which if you're doing long range, then I think you do need that little bit more explanation anyways for it. So going back a little bit onto the snow trivia thing that we have pulled up here, I did notice, you know, we were talking about Veterans Day, maybe seeing a couple snowflakes out there flying, and the earliest snowfall.
I just saw that,
That we, it's a little bit buried in this sheet.
It is.
I have to say, I love the National Weather Service office, but this one, this sheet is a little bit unorganized from their other ones. And also they called it snow trivia, which is kind of interesting instead of just
there's
like...
There's no questions.
Right? Yeah. But anyways, the earliest snowfall that we've ever seen in Bowling Green was a trace back in October 18th, 1989. So if we were to see a couple of snowflakes, then that would be earlier than normal, but not mm-hmm. the earliest that we've ever seen snowflakes out here.
Yeah, in terms of averages, that would be below normal, or above normal, I guess, even, I don't know, earlier than normal.
And I also think that it's kind of interesting that the latest snowfall was 1 inch back on April 30th, 1908, way at the end of April.
Yeah, you're talking about May, basically.
Yeah. I moved from the north for that reason, so I would not see snow in April.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Hopefully we don't see snow in April.
Yeah, I like that one. It was just one of those random, like, cool spots, because the month of April that year that I mentioned, I think it was 2018, because I wasn't here for April 2017. I know this past year didn't snow.
I was
so
not
that
here
was,
in April
like I said, I think it was
yet.
The 10th, maybe? Something like okay. that. But it was one of those, you know, just that dip in the jet stream that allows all that cold air to come through. So it was only, you know, very cold for a couple of days, but it just kind of coincided with moisture coming through. So it was kind of the perfect storm, I guess. That, but, you know, I think the second half of the month was back closer to normal, at least. The 60s came back, and we were warming up for that. So by the end of April, you kind of forgot about it, but the first half was pretty chilly. I remember that. And it was, I remember in my head thinking, you know, like, man, we're like weeks away from May and it's snowing right now. Like, this does not make sense.
No. Right.
So that was kind of crazy. But yeah. And I know every year you get those people like, oh, I remember snow on Halloween. So my mom's a big, she does it every year too. Like, if it's cold on Halloween, well, I remember the days where it snowed a couple of years on Halloween. So I'm like, okay, well, I hear verification, I guess.
I mean, I guess maybe. It says on here our deepest, earliest snow depth was 1 inch on October 30th, so in 1925.
Yeah.
Let me clarify that way back when.
Before my mom's time. clarify that, too.
Yeah, I'm glad your
That's
mom...
That's not the one that she remembered.
I'm glad your mom's not, like, 100 years old.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess, anyways, that's proof that it can happen, have a little snow on Halloween.
Yeah. But like I said, with the exception maybe of flakes, I would say, for Veterans Day, don't really know when that first snow, at least measurable snow, will occur. But
which, according to this, we've got a while into December.
Yeah.
So.
And if you're a fan of white Christmases, then, you know, climatically, you're in good hands, I guess.
I guess the odds are
in your favor.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's going to be getting cold. And I know there's some people not looking forward to it. A lot of people wanted, you know, I think we always go back to the fall. People wanted the fall, the transition. And we've gone from even the month of October, I shared the end of the month calendar that we do for temperatures and precipitation. We started the first 3 days with just matching and breaking the then hottest temperature of October ever. So we went from the upper 90s for the first week to those 40s and 30s on Halloween night. And, you know, people were saying, like, yeah, we didn't really get that transition from a warm fall to a cool fall. It was hot and then, oh, man. And that's kind of what we're doing now for the first couple weeks of November. Where we look to see some of the coldest air so far. I mentioned, you know, it could be one of the coldest Veterans Days, not on record, but in quite some time. I think it's been pretty manageable the last several years, at least the last decade to decade and a half, maybe, of 50s and 60s showing up for Veterans Days. But you have to go back to the 90s. I think 96, 97 was a pretty chilly couple of Veterans Days. And then we had some comparable temperatures to what we're forecasting back in the late 80s. So again, it's been quite some time since we've been this chilly for Veterans Day, but I know that a lot of people, I don't know, there's only a couple people that I know that are big winter fans who are okay with this forecast.
I am not.
Everyone else is pretty much in the same boat of, no, this is not what we wanted. We wanted fall, a warm fall.
Yeah, when we say Arctic blast, I mean...
It's in November.
Going to be an Arctic blast. It's going to be winter.
Yeah, it's not looking good. So just kind of a spoiler, I guess. There are a few days in our forecast that the highs are close to the normal lows for this time of the year.
If not below.
Yeah, especially by this time next week. I think we're just going to be hating things.
I think so.
There'll be a lot of angry people.
If you haven't broken out that winter gear yet, you'll probably want to do that this weekend.
Yeah. And if you've been holding out on the heat, too, if you're team no heat, as it seems pops up every year, I think that's going to be a thing, too.
Honestly, if you're team no heat, I don't know how you've lasted this long, because they've definitely dipped down low enough to turn on your heat. So, I don't know. I turned on my heat a long time ago. Yeah, hey, props to you. I'm sure that you're enjoying that lower energy bill. I, on the other hand, am willing to pay a little bit more to be comfortable in the house. So
I like to gradually wake up in the morning. I don't like to get shocked with the freezing floor when I stand up in the morning. So
see, I've got a carpet in my room, but my issue is like when you wake up in the morning, it's all right. But then you take a nice hot shower, and when you get out of the shower, then it's just like a burst of cold air, and I hate that. So yeah, I turn on my heat. And just prevent that whole issue. Although I have to say, there's one room in my house, I use it as my storage room, and I don't know what is up with that, but like I walked in there actually earlier today, and it seemed okay temperature-wise, but recently when I've been walking in there, it seemed like the one vent in that room was just, I mean, it's blowing heat, but it wasn't like warming up the room, and I keep that door closed because it's my storage room and I have glass and I don't want my animals going in there and messing things up.
Yeah.
So obviously it's not getting that full circulation from every other room in the house, but last year it was not that cold, and like this year when I walk in there it feels like it's in the low 50s when you walk into the room. So I don't know, I might have to figure something out with that circulation issue with that bedroom. or I'll have to move some things around. I keep my bamboo plants and a couple other plants in there, and they're not gonna fare too well if it stays that cold anyways in that room.
And you know, we sound like a broken record because just within the last week we were talking about the coldest air of the season with that first hard freeze.
Yeah.
And here we go again with the possibility of even colder temperatures for lows and highs too.
Yeah.
I'm looking at on 7 day right now that we see it goes out to Tuesday. Tuesday keeps grabbing my eye.
I know.
because it just looks awful.
It does. I guess we could go through the forecast. I feel like we've teased enough.
It pains me.
Yeah. So, depending on when you're listening to this, of course, we're recording this on Wednesday again. And as we obviously get further into next week's forecast, it's a little bit more uncertain. Mm-hmm. I think temperatures are pretty good idea of those. But as far as precipitation, that's where it's a little bit fuzzy right now. But as you're listening to this, if you're listening to this as it gets released on Thursday, then you've had a rainy day today.
That's right.
We've...
Good day to stay inside and listen to the podcast.
Hey, there you go. Yeah. Hopefully Shameless that's what plug. You're doing. And then it's also a great day to sit there and ponder weather questions that you can send to weather at WNKY.com.
I like it. Yeah.
Had to throw that in there. And also you can take cute pictures of your pet by the window.
Watching the rain.
Yeah, you know. I'll take those at weather at WNKY.com as well.
That's right.
couple nice plugs in there. So, anyways, Thursday is going to be a rainy day. It looks like that rain will be ending in the evening hours, though. About 4 p.m., it looks like that rain should be pretty much out of here. Now, Thursday is one of those days where those temperatures will be decreasing throughout the entire day. So, we've got a cold front moving through early Thursday morning, and temperatures will just continue to drop throughout the day, eventually bottoming out in those mid-20s for Thursday night. That's our first little taste of the cold.
That's a preview of what's to come.
So then we see a high pressure system moving in for the weekend. That gives us a lot of sunshine, but we also stay on the cooler side behind that cold front. So on Friday, our high temperatures are going to be pretty much where our typical low temperatures should be. So highs on Friday will be very chilly in those mid-40s, low mid-40s. And then we see a rebound in temperatures throughout the weekend up to close to about 60 degrees, sitting in those upper 50s for Sunday. Then we've got another system headed our way in a pretty powerful trough, a large trough, I would say, that's going to set up over pretty much the whole eastern half of the United States. So we're not the only one that's going to be feeling this cold.
Yeah. So, misery loves company, they say.
Yeah, so. I guess. Everyone on the East Coast is going to probably be hating their lives. Especially in New England, because they're going to get some snow, and that's not us, at least. So again, another reason why I moved down south. So then we get interesting weather as we get towards next week. So with that trough, it's going to be getting extremely cold outside. We are talking high temperatures on Monday in those low to mid 40s again. Overnight lows in the mid 20s. Tuesday, that one kind of hurts. Mid 30s for your high temperatures.
Yeah, you heard that correctly.
Yeah.
High.
Mid 30s for the high. That's like crazy to me. That's what we should be in, what, in like January maybe?
Yeah.
And then, I hate to say it, but some models are hinting at the teens for Tuesday night. Could be our first teens of the season, and through the middle of next week looks like we'll still be as cold as it looks like for Tuesday.
Yeah.
So very cold. Right now it looks like we really won't be looking at too much in terms of precipitation. I've only got a 30% chance on there for Veterans Day, and that's on Monday. That's the only time that it looks like we might be seeing a little something, but models aren't too impressive at this time. Looks like we might be seeing little bit of rain, maybe a couple flurries mixed in there. I don't know if it's anything. I don't think it's anything concerning right now, but of course you'll have to stay tuned throughout the rest of this week on our normal social media, on air, things like that, on the app for updates on that, as again the models are not very consistent with that precipitation right now.
Yeah, but like you mentioned, the agreement is there in the temperatures, which is not necessarily something that we'd like to see this time, I guess.
No.
I love it when the models agree, but man, I wish it was on something else. Another note too, with the Climate Prediction Center, they always issue those 2-week, monthly, whatever outlook for temperatures. It is very dark blue for most of the eastern half, which, like you said, but it's important to note, it's to my point of the agreement, because it's a little deceiving. Those maps, the shade of blue or the tones of blues and oranges aren't related to the extent of the temperatures, meaning dark blue doesn't mean very cold. It's the level of confidence. So they have the colors on a percentage scale, but that is what looks like a 90%.
About a 90%, area. Which is pretty crazy because I don't know if I know they've issued like 90% confidence before, but I don't think I've really ever seen it for that large of an area.
Yeah. And you know, that's an 8 to 14 day outlook. So
they're
looking at a 90% chance for this half of the country below normal for the next 2 weeks. So that just carries it into it. Also for I see the precipitation outlook. They have not a high chance, but I mean decent. Looks like 30 to 40% of a below average precipitation. So kind of goes to your whole mantra there. If it's going to be this cold, it might as well snow. Well, it looks like it might not if we're below average precip. So that's a bummer, I guess. I'm kind of that. We always say that too, where I'm from, about, you know, if it's cold, I just hate dealing with just cold.
But, you know, I think I'm happy about it because I think if we were to get precipitation with temperatures right about 36 degrees, that's right where we get those mixes. That's where it gets tricky for us. Mm-hmm. And
that's where the issues come in.
Yeah, tricky for forecasting, tricky for road conditions because you could see a layer of ice forming. Mm-hmm. You could see snow. So I'm okay with just having super cold but not really having to worry about that mixed precipitation stuff going on.
I can deal all snow. I almost prefer, obviously, of all the precipitation types, I'd rather drive on snow.
Right.
Because like we've talked about, I think last year sometime, snow can almost act as its own traction sometimes when it gets packed down. And you know, if it's just snow, that's fine. But when you start to run into the freezing, you know, or refreezing, that's where things get complicated. And I did see what you're looking at too. Somebody, one of my fellow meteorologists, and I can't remember where they're from, but he shared this map of the 6 to 10 day outlook. It's solid dark blue, and he says there's like 20 states that I can't see because it's so
pretty
dark.
Much, yeah. That's I would say at 100% confidence.
Yeah.
And that's covering a good solid, like, 2/3 of the U.S.
I mean, from the Rockies east, pretty much.
Yeah,
exactly. It's below normal.
So
this week, we all get to hate California.
It's very promising that we will be extremely cold next week.
You know, like I said, we don't like to experience it. From a forecasting standpoint, though, this is what you live for. This accuracy, this confidence. Yeah.
So, I don't know, we might have to talk to Scott and see if one of us could take a vacation real quick and go to California.
Go to California real quick, yeah.
California.
Usually it's the Florida that gets the hate, but it looks like California this week.
Yeah.
And even Alaska. Look at Alaska, above average.
Hey, yeah.
By about 80%.
I don't know. 70%. I think Alaska would still be pretty cold, though.
Yeah, above average is like, what, upper 60s?
Probably. And but that's going to be warmer than still, here. Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe it's not a bad idea. Yeah, I guess I never said it, but officially our normals are changing every day as we keep losing sunlight. But when I pulled it up today, our normal high temperature is supposed to be 64 degrees, and our normal minimum is 41 degrees.
So there you have it.
So we're just already well below normal, and we're just going to continue to get even worse below normal, past our normal minimum for our high temperatures. It's going to be awful.
Now, as a...
Unless you like the cold.
I've mentioned before, too, that one of my climate professors always talked about, the climate weather is a big, just basically like a game back and forth and balancing out. There's cold will be replaced by warmth. Warmth will be replaced by cold, like in the general sense. So this isn't a forecast. This is a personal preference. I would hope if the next 2 weeks are going to be this cold that we would flip to the warm pattern just in time for Thanksgiving. That would be ideal. So fingers crossed, but that's not a forecast again. That is still about 3 weeks away.
Yeah.
So we will stay tuned for that. But I would hope at least average. I mean,
that's what I'm waiting for. When I keep checking the models and upper levels, and I'm like, can we get a ridge? I really want a ridge.
Come on.
Let's get a ridge in here. And
anybody want a record hot Thanksgiving?
I would take it.
Let's go.
Not good climatologically, though, if we were to go from this cold to that hot. But
that's true.
Hey, that's okay.
So that's what we're looking at for the next week, and outlook-wise for the next 2 weeks. So once we cool down, you get that preview again on Friday, depending on when you're listening to this. But if you're listening early next week, then you're feeling it already.
Yes.
And this is really the pattern that we're going to be stuck in for at least the next several days. So stay warm and stay tuned for that eventual Thanksgiving forecast, because hopefully things improve before then too. So
I have a feeling we're gonna have a lot of hot chocolate and coffee and chili and all those other warm
soup season is here.
Yeah, so maybe just either stock up on that or make a huge crock pot full, live off of that for a few days.
Yes, no complaints here.
Yeah,
I actually had a post church service meeting after last week, and it was basically a whole soup bar.
Ooh.
So there was like different chilies and different
that's nice
soups and stuff, and it was just like, man, yes, this is a good time.
Yeah,
all those different options. Yeah, just it warms the soul,
yeah.
And I was getting the opposite effect just reading those temperatures. I was starting to get a little chilly.
I've already noticed, so we have to turn the AC off for our newscast, because otherwise you'll hear it. And so normally, during the summer, it gets super hot in here, like close to 80 degrees anyway, at least for the morning show. And so I've noticed recently, I'll turn off the air and only warm up like a degree or two by the end of the newscast. And I'm like, oh no, I'm not ready for this time of year.
Yeah, I've noticed that too, where during the summer months, we get that half hour between shows for the evening. And I'll shut the air off, and it's so hot that it only gets down to about 75, 74 before we have to shut it off again. And so that kind of gives a head start to get hot by the end of the 6 o'clock news. So, like I said, there are some days in the summer where by the end of the 6 o'clock, it's pushing 80 degrees in the studio. And it's been off back to the setting like 15 minutes before we go on air is how it's only, like you said, it's gotten up to maybe 73, 74.
Yeah.
And I think we have it set to 71 in the studio. And it's there long before we even do mic checks for the next show. So, yeah, it's an indication of how cold it is outside. So, and there are some days I know in the deep of the winter, maybe next week when we get lows in the teens, possibly, that the temperature in here will be colder than the setting, so the air won't even kick on because it's colder than...
There is a stretch for maybe a couple weeks last year that I actually had to turn on the heater because it would drop down into like the mid-60s, mid to upper 60s, and I can't do that cold.
Yeah,
71 is like pushing it for me because I just like to be warm. But yeah, I don't know. Hopefully next week don't have to turn on the heater yet, but... You smell a weird burning smell when you come
That's
in.
Why. Everything's okay.
I broke, yeah.
The first furnace use of the season. But that's what we're looking at for the next couple weeks. And I guess we can try and address a couple of Tej's very in-depth questions.
Well, you know, I'll talk about this one since you briefly mentioned the name of it. Mm-hmm. One of his questions, what is a jet stream?
Right.
Or what is the jet stream? I should correct myself.
And he was kind of on the right track when he guessed.
Yeah.
He was, can't remember exactly what he said, but I think it was something along the lines of movement, some type of movement in the air, which is basically that. And I told him what my professors always taught us, to just kind of get that visual, is think of it as a river or a current of air. And it does move kind of, well, both north and south, up and down. I was going to say up and down, but it does through the year literally go north and south, but also goes up and down because there are different levels. I believe it's in the winter months that it is higher up, or is it the summer? I always got it confused. I know if you're kind of
weather
geek.
I would think summer it would be higher because the warm air expands more.
Yeah. I know during its highest point upwards, it's about 300 millibar level, I think, if you're a weather nerd. And I think it gets down to about 7 to 850, close to on the other extreme, on the low end.
I don't remember the up and down of it as well.
Again, it's been a while. I got those notebooks at home.
I know.
To dig through, but it's been a while.
I really remember jet streaks. So in the jet stream, you have really fast wind. Mm-hmm. And then in jet streaks, it's pockets of even faster wind.
Yeah. And this might sound silly, but I always, when they taught us to think of it as a river of air, I obviously thought about the ocean. So when we learned about jet streaks, like you mentioned, I always think of the part on Finding Nemo where they're jumping into the current and it takes that fast, like zooms in. It's silly, but that's what helped me.
It's pretty accurate,
though. Help me remember, so like, you get that.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, when there's different severe weather ingredients, those can also be a place to watch for severe weather development, too, when you're looking at the dynamic side of things, too. So
I like that, the Finding Nemo movie.
Now you're not going to get it out of your head.
No, I'm not. That's
sea
how I'm
everywhere.
Always going to remember it now.
Yeah.
But I did always remember the jet stream. Like, my professors would say the same thing. It's like a river in the atmosphere. And it looks like that, too. I mean, if you look at the upper levels and things like that, and you can see it.
And it does act, you know, we're talking about a dip down in the jet stream. That's what I said earlier.
It moves more south.
It just kind of allows that air as a current almost to drag that air down. Kind of rides along that boundary. So, kind of think of it exactly as a current in a river. So that was a good question. And his other ones were kind of, you know, a little in depth. He did ask about, I think he asked, we didn't ask what a derecho is, but he asked what the word was because, again, he messed it up about five times. But that
and
would be
he settled on derecho.
Yeah, derecho.
Which is not it.
Like a cool version of Rachel, is what he said.
Yeah.
Which is not cool. Sorry to any Rachels out there if you call yourself derecho. I don't think that's cool.
I don't think so either.
But no, that would be a kind of a long-lived wind event. So I know every time there's damaging wind threats, a lot of people in the weather community will jump to that word, but it has to be, there's different, it's kind of like blizzard almost, where it's got to meet different criteria, I believe, I think it's a certain amount of winds consistently over a span of so many miles at one time. So a lot of times we'll see kind of intermittent wind damage, but this would be kind of widespread over miles and miles, so that would be a derecho, but
yeah.
I mean, they were good questions. It was just a lot of... I was not expecting that level of...
I wasn't either.
All the in-depth and...
But when he was in college, he did take an intro-level meteorology class. So I think from that, he's kind of like always had these built-up questions. And then whenever he gets the chance, he's
spilling
like...
spilling them all out now.
So hopefully he listens to our podcast and he'll learn the answers to a couple of these questions. And we'll save the other few for another day. There's one that is kind of more Scott-related question, so we'll have to save it for a day when Scott can actually be a part of our podcast for more than 2 minutes to say hi.
And he did say he wanted to do some research on that one too.
Yes.
So be on the lookout for that in the next couple weeks, hopefully, that he'll have some data to back up his answer.
Yeah.
He's a digger when it comes to information. I like it.
Me too. You gotta always have that accurate information.
But you've already mentioned it too. But we'll do it again, because that's how we roll. But if you have any weather questions, you can send those to us. Or if you have any topic suggestions, too. I know we mentioned, not recently, but used to be kind of our theme, that your question, we've had questions before that have turned into entire episodes, too. So if there's anything, like Tej, just kind of spilling all of his wonders of the weather, if there's anything you'd like to know, like us to answer, or any discussion topics you think would be good to hear us talk about, you can send all of that to weather@wnky.com. Again, that will go to the entire weather department here. Myself, Christy, and Scott will all get that, and we can put our minds together and answer those questions. But that is where you send those questions, so feel free to do that. Obviously, continue to share our podcast as well, and again, be on the lookout. Hopefully, we'll get that answer for you for next week's show, but in the meantime, keep sharing this week's episode. But I don't think we have any other questions, and I don't think there's anything else to talk about, not that I see.
I don't think so, not right now anyways.
Yeah, I think we're good. So again, keep sharing this. Again, also thanks to Woohoo, Beaver FM, and Willy Country for always sharing and posting our weather podcasts on their websites too. So big thanks to them, and big thanks to Kirkpatrick too. He's always helping us on the production side of this podcast too. So we're back hopefully in the full swing of things on a normal basis, no interruptions. And again, episode 56 next week, but this is episode 55. Keep on sharing the link with your friends on Facebook and Twitter, and yeah, keep sending those questions too, and Dog Parker's forecast photos.
Yes, and you can just give us a shout out so we know that we're not just talking to ourselves every week.
Why not do that? Make us feel like our work is worthwhile.
Exactly.
But that's going to do it for episode number 55 of WNKY Weather Weekly. We'll talk to you then. But until next time, I've been meteorologist Cody Bailey.
And I'm meteorologist Christy Stewart.
Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.